Blog Talk Radio. The cargo and lions shall break every chain. The conquering lions shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again. Give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion.
Topic. You want to introduce the topic for tonight? What you're instructing on tonight, Brother DeWalt?
Tonight we're gonna go into some deep esoteric knowledge. We're gonna study Judaism, and you call it Judaism, but we're gonna learn about this word Judaism, what Judaism is, and we're gonna do with the original language what is actually it's called versus what. It's been translated into. So there's no J's in their language. So we're going into some pretty deep esoteric knowledge, which is knowledge that's hidden from the congregation of the church. See, this is knowledge that the preacher won't teach you this, because it's very important that we know that the first, what we call the Old Testament, the first five books in that is called Torah, and the other 34 books is called Tanakh. That's Judaism. And before we could understand anything, you had to learn Judaism. It's no J's in their language. It is called Yehudaism. And Jesus, whose was a Jew, a Yehuda, he practiced this. He practiced it harder than any sect. He organized three sects, the Evil Knights, the Essens, and the Nazarenes. When he died on the cross, he died as, with that title, Nazarene. These sects lived in the quorum of in that time period where Jesus was staying at in that area. We got the history on that, so this is what we're going to do. We're going deep off into some history and learn about Judaism. Maybe you can see Jesus a little bit better if you understood what he taught. See, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be Christ-like, meaning that what Jesus believed in, that's what you're supposed to believe in. But how can we believe in something when we don't know anything about Judaism? And I use the word Judaism because that's what most of our listening audience, now unless you're a pretty well-traveled man, we call it traveling, a learned man, you know it's Yehudaism because they have no J's in their language. The name Jesus is translated out of I-E-S-U-S, H-E-S-E-S, J-E-S, J-A, to Y-A-S-H-A. When it becomes Yahshua, it becomes the original name of this person that you call Jesus. Then we can understand what this man taught and what this man believed in. He believed in Yehudaism, Orthodox. He was the hard section on Yehudaism. They were the last tribe of people, the Yehudas, that were in the ways of Yah, which was called Yahweh. In that language, it means the ways of Yah, means Yah and, way is and in the language. Nobody has a name in that language that believe in that school of thoughts, that believe in the ways of Yah. You have a statement. Yahshua is Yah's salvation. Ben is son Jehoshaphat. Yahshua was Yah's salvation, son of Jehoshaphat. Joseph is Yahshua's name. That was his name. That was his statement. That wasn't his name. No child in that period of time in the Yehudas had a name because you was not allowed to have a name. Your baby was, the child was named with a statement after Yah. In that time period, the males was named Yahshua, and the females, most of the females at that age, was named Miriam. For one simple reason, they was looking for a Mashiach. A Mashiach, which got translated into Messiah, means a leader. It doesn't mean anything holy, as we've been told, and we all up in the sky with this word Messiah. It only means a leader. This is why the Orthodox Jews say what they say, that they still looking for this Mashiach, this leader in Israel. They haven't had a leader yet. Jesus didn't establish no kingdom or nothing, because look at his kingdom now. If he's established it, it wasn't established. He was murdered during that time. This man named Yahshua, the Nazarene, the one that died on the cross. So what we're going to do now is get we're going to study a little what we call Hindu theism. Hindu theism is the study of every nation of people's history, their gods, where they come from, their language, the seed. We start at the seed, at the very beginning, and Yehudaism started 2500 B.C. Hinduism started at 4000 B.C., and Yehudaism was the next way of life that the people, there wasn't a religion at that time, a way of life that the people believed in the ways of Yah, who was the father. He wasn't a god. The people that believed in Yah did not worship gods, because that was Yah's first commandment. Now, a little thing about, let's look at Judaism from 2500 B.C. The sacred Hebrew writings began with the Tanakh. The name Tanakh comes from the three divisions of Jewish Bibles in Hebrew, Torah, which is law, Nevi'im, which is the prophet, Gemara, which is the writing. Using the first letters of each section to form the word Tanakh, these books are penned in Hebrew and Aramaic from the 16th century to the 5th century BCE. Jews believe that they were the writing under different and diminishing degrees of inspiration, not holiness, inspiration. Therefore, they put them into the order of importance. Torah, the first five books of Moses, are the pinnacle from the Greek, which got translated into the Greek, mean pinnacle, for the five scrolls. The law consists of the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. However, the term Torah may also be used to refer to the Jewish Bible as a whole, as well as the oral law and the Talmud. The name of the prophets covered from Joseph through the major prophets of Israel through Ezekiel, and then through the 12 prophets from Hosea to Malachi. This is what this one book. The next book was the writings, consisting of the poetic works, Psalms, or the Songs of Lament, and all of this. Below ancient Torahs, from what is known as the Tomb of Esther in Iran, is writers Hebrew and Yiddish hymns of praises based on scriptures. From the Gentiles' point of view, the Tanakh, a Jewish Bible, is the most important of Jewish writing. However, the Jews view it in difference. Many Jews would agree that the comment by Rabbi is the cornerstone of Judaism, then the Talmud is the central pillar sold up from the foundation and support the entire spiritual and intellectual edifies. No other works have been a comparable influence of the theory or practice of Jewish life. What then is the Talmud? Orthodox Jews believe not only that Yah gave the writings, laws of Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai, but also that Yah revealed to him specific explanation of how to carry out that law, and that these were to be passed on by word of mouth. This was called the oral law. Thus, the Talmud is the writing summary with later commentary and explanation that the oral law, compiled by rabbis from the 2nd century CE to the Middle Ages. The Talmud is usually divided into two main sections, the Mishnah, a collection of covenant, supplement, scripture-based laws based on the explanation of the Talmud, the teacher, is that put into the writing form in the late 2nd and early 3rd century CE, the Gemara, originally called the Talmud, a collection of covenant of the Mishnah rabbi of a later period, 3rd on the 6th century. In addition to these two main divisions of Talmuds, may also include commentaries from the Gemara by the rabbis into the Middle Ages. Different language of the Talmud far more understand in Rabbi Moses in 1135 to 1204 reorganized the Talmud into a virgin, a Michelin Torah. Judaism. There are three Yehudism. There are major differences between the various functions of Yehudism tradition. Yehudism emphasizes religious practice, debate over such matters rather than believe that serious tension among Jews have to have the conflicts of the three major divisions of Judaism, which this is where the teaching, you can see that the teaching, when the teaching starts straying away from pureness of Yah, the way Yah, the original, when they start removing the original and the priesthood got all things, you can see where you had this division, which started with the Orthodox Jews. The Orthodox Jews, this branch not only accept that the Hebrew Tanakh is inspiration of scripture, but also believe that Moses received the oral law from Yah on Mount Sinai at the same time that he received the written law. Orthodox Jews keep the commandments of both laws, that believe that the Messiah is still to appear and to bring Israel to a golden age. because of difference of opinion within the Orthodox Jew, various fractures have emerged. One example is Hasidic. And you can see where this friction is between them and certain beliefs and the ways that you're supposed to. But the Hasidic means the pious. They are viewed as ultra-Orthodox, formed by Israel, being the Israel known as Baal Shah, master of the good name of the 18th century in Eastern Europe. They followed a teaching that highlighted music and dancing results in mystic joy. Many of their beliefs included reincarnation are based on Jewish Yehuda's mythical books known as Kabbalah, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, Book of Moses. Today are led by rabbis, Yiddish of Yiddish, considered that the followers of this spirit of righteous of saints. Hasidic today are found mainly in the United States and Israel. They wear a particular style of Eastern European garb, making it black, and they have long locks on the 18th and 19th centuries that make them very comparison, especially in a modern city setting. Today they are divided into sects that follow different rabbis. These Jews, you know them, these are ones that be at the wailing wall and be like bobblers you have in your car. They be bobbling their head at the wailing wall. These are the high cities. Then you have the Reformed Jews, also known as the liberal and the progressive Jews. This movement began in Western Europe towards the beginning of the 19th century. It's based on the ideas of Moses Mendelssohn, an 18th century Jewish intellectual who believed Jews should assimilate Western culture than separate themselves from the Gentiles. Reformed Jews denied that the Torah was divine and revealed truth. These are called Mesmerite Jews. They believe the same as the Christians. The conservative Jews, this began in Germany in 1845, an offshoot of Reformed Judaism, which they booked. Some important feast days and customs that Jesus had. Shabbat, the seventh day of the Yehuda's week from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, is viewed as significant. The week and the special observation of this day is central for the worshiping. Yehuda attends the synagogue for Torah readings and prayers. Exodus 20:8-11 tell you this. This is what Jesus believed in. He didn't believe in all of these holidays that you believe in. He believed in what is known as the Seder, P-E-S-A-C-H, Festival of the Passover. This is what he did. He ate bitters. I don't see you doing this. So if you've got to be in the ways of Jesus, we got to first understand what Jesus believed in. And this is Yehudaism in its truest form. So let's see what happens when Jesus died and went up on the cross, Brother Drew. He was a Nazarene, and we are going to compare about when someone changed this, how he got changed with a revised version. You have to understand that the King James Bible is a revised version. The word revised means to make over. The word version is to put into to your likings. So for us to get the truth, we need to understand the truth, the original. We have the original in 2013. You have no reason to be ignorant to anything in 2013 because all the knowledge is in. We have people that can speak the language. We have children that can speak the language. So once there was a language that everybody spoke, all the colored people of the earth, the people of color, spoke one language. This was the language of Yah. The tenth sign and symbol in the language is Yah, Y-A. the language carries vibration. The knowledge is based upon the 12 laws of nature. It is not God worship. It's not a God worship. You do it strictly by obedience of the will power of your mind. When the Father made you, he created you a mind. You are a mind walking in a shell. He is looking for a mind that can graduate from the shell, if you can understand what I'm talking about. Now let's look at before Jesus got on the cross. Let's look at something, Brother Drew. Before Jesus got on the cross, he was in the ways of Abraham. His priesthood was in the order of Melchizedek. I tell you that in the book of book. He said that he was the high priest of all of this priesthood of the temple worship had been did away with. That temple worshiping in the church house and all of that stuff had been did away with. Clearly tell you that in the book of Hebrew, where he made your body your temple and to worship the Father, not a God. He never called this person Father in your mind with faith and truth of the love only for the Father, because the Father was a jealous Father. This is what this man died. When he died, was walking around, this is what he believed in. This is what Yahshua believed in before he became Jesus. This is what we're going on. What did Yahshua believe in before he became Jesus? And then when he became Jesus, his belief suddenly changed drastically. So we got to see in 2013, why did white people change this? And that's who changed it. The great white fathers changed it. Did they do it intentionally? They did it out of ignorance, or they didn't know, or what? Because St. Augustine, if you go back in the history of the 12 popes up there, St. Augustine clearly told Josephus' name up there. With St. Augustine was the oldest black pope. There was 12 of them up there at that time in Alexandria. He told them that you're trying to change a belief that is over 200,000 years old. This belief been on earth of the colored people in this language. You're trying to change it. But you can see by studying the history of Christendom, which started at 325 A.D. with Constantine, then you can see how the things got changed to where you off into three different doctrines teaching now. See, when Jesus got on the cross, he was Yahshua the Nazarene. His sign was the fish. And the fish was the symbol of a fish, a fisher, a man to teach them the ways of the truth and the light of his Father's kingdom. He had woolly hair, brass feet, amber skin. And he taught only one thing, to love the Father, do his commandments. He taught that over and over, obedience. And he taught out of four books. He taught out of the Torah, the Tanakh, Deuteronomy, Psalms, and Proverbs. That's what he taught out of those books. Because if you go into the 2,050 words wrote in red that Jesus spoke, you will see that they translated out of those four books I just named. If you think I'm lying, do the study. You don't believe anything that a person tell you. Do the study. Manto is documentation. I tell anybody, don't believe anything I'm saying to you now. Do the research. I mean, you don't have to be ignorant. This is why we've been ignorant, so we want to get people out of ignorance. So this is why we are studying this history. We're going off into a secret society. These things that I'm talking to you about has been hid up under secret societies, and you had to know this. Now, it was a funny thing that when Jesus came down, and you have to understand, Pentecost, it never has been. The word Pentecost means 50 days. They spoke in one language called Galatians, which was the language of Yah, which was the universal language then, and it had gotten named Galatians. If you trace the history of this language of Yah, it's been many things, Sumerian, Phoenician. You know, it started off as the language of Yah, but that's how we, if you start with the seed, you can see how they changed it. People use the same language, but they changed it, Brother Drew, and named it another thing. And it's confusing if you, when you get off to it. But see, they argued for 50 days, and if you know the story, when they got through arguing, Peter went back to Korah and said, I follow the way of the Nazarene. Paul said, I follow the way of the Christ. Well, Christ's teaching is not the same as Yehuda's teaching. Christ's teaching came out of Hinduism teaching. And we can trace the history of 12 crises. There's been many crises before this Jesus Christ came on the scene. And see, when Jesus started walking around, it's a, he didn't have to obey the laws that was told never to transgress. See, the Father made 7 everlasting covenants with you. Yah made 7 everlasting covenants with his mind that you find in Torah teaching. When you read the Torah, he made these covenants that the preacher don't tell you nothing about. The word everlasting means that these covenants could never be broken. You couldn't live up under grace from the laws, especially the dietary laws, because it clearly tells you in the book of Leviticus at the 11th chapter that if you broke these dietary laws, that you would become a beast of the field. These laws was called the laws of the beast of the field. It clearly told you that. It clearly told you that if you ate blood in your meat, of what conditions that you were have that you got right now, and the Gentile taught you to eat blood of the meat.
He's still there, Brother DeWan. Oh, here, man.
All right, just a second.
I don't hear nothing on your line, Brother DeWan. Hang up and probably call back in. I'm going to play a song while you're doing that.
Because of the lion shall break every chain, the conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory.
Can you hear me, Brother DeWan? You. Yeah, okay, you back on, Brother DeWan. Go ahead.
Yeah, what happened?
I'm not sure, just lost all the sound. You back on.
Well, I was at the point was when Jesus got on the cross, he was in the ways of Melchizedek, and when he came and started walking around, he was a Christian. And his sign was the cross, the symbol of suffering and pain.
Only Cushite slaves and workers was crucified on the cross. No Roman citizen could be crucified at Rome at that period of time. Funny thing to me, he had blonde hair, blue eyes. He had transformed what they call a leper in that day and period of time. Taught out of the New Testament, wrote by a Gnostic Jew by the name of Paul, who taught to love everybody, and that God's head became three when the Gnostics taught only to love the Father and honor everybody else. What happened? Something happened. Some got revised and put in a version that wasn't the original version. And we have the Torah and the Tanakh right now. We have the Torah and the Tanakh in the original version, the Talmud, Kabbalah. And so it's no use for us to be ignorant in 2013. And so we're supposed to raise our children a certain way. And the book taught us a certain way to raise our kids. And then the book sit around and told you that if you didn't raise your kids like this, then this you would have a generation that would curse you. It tells you that in the book of Proverbs. And what I want to do is, if there's any questions about understanding that the teaching that you have as a Pauline Christian, it is called, of theology. Ask yourself, why is the teaching of Jesus called theology? Theology is the study of Greek gods. Jesus, the original Jesus, was not a Greek. So all of these questions, when you ask yourself the five devas, who, what, when, how, why, and where did it come from, this is the way you study Hinduism. You use ethnology, which is the study of the origin of the word. This language that we speak is read from left to right. It came out of the ancient serpent, Lord, of the three sixes, which your Bible tell you don't go in the ways of the three sixes. Jesus warned you seven times about going in the ways of the Gentiles. He even told his disciples, don't preach to the Gentile or the Samaritan, at least to the lost children of Israel. So who is this lost children of seed of Abraham that a time period would come into existence? And the only people that you can say that, if when you study the history, the only people, the last people was made, was people called themselves African Americans. And their history is 457 years old. So the history that's 457 years old, this history is in the Bible, is no more history after that. After these people come into existence, it took 4,445 years from Genesis, the 15th chapter of Genesis. It took that long before these people come into existence. Abraham had a seed that would be in a strange land and wouldn't know anything about themselves because they had went into slavery and the people had took their language and their identity away from us. The only people that fit that description in 2013 is the people called themselves African America. The government of this great United States label us as free men. If you are the F-R-E-E-D man, which comes under certain liberties and certain rights, and a second-class citizen, then you are that. And as long as you have the last name of your oppressor, you are a free man. You are classified as a free man. So these people are the people that the Bible talk about are the seed of Abraham. Abraham married a third time. He married a woman called Keturah. They had children. The slaves that came over here in 55 came out of the Congo. They were these children, and they came over here in the ways of Yah. They didn't come over here in the ways of a Christian. They came on Jesus with Luxall and John the Baptist, but they were not Christians. They believed in the ways of Yah. Allah means the God. In Surah 5, clearly tell you who Yah is in the Quran. At Psalm 68 and 4, all you Christians, you go read Psalm 68 and 4. It tells you that's some words that you have to take out and put the correct word out of translation. It tells you that the Father, because he wasn't a God, before that word got translated to the big G and the little G, that was Father. And Lord, the same way, that word wasn't in, can't say it in the Hebrew language. It's not there in the original text. But Father, his name was, they have it in your King James Bible as J-A-H, but that was translated out of I-A-H and was translated out of Y-A-H. So Y-A-H is in a similar form also, so it is very important that you have to know that that's the feminine form of Yah. Yah was male and female. The language is male and female. And who represents Yah on the earth down here is the female. She is the one that creates mankind, another mind, for Yah. This is what I was teaching at one time before it got taken away from us, before somebody got to believing that the female caused man to sin. No, not, the female didn't cause man to sin. A white man caused the people of Eve and Adam to sin, not the Yah man, because the Yah man, he always going to be the Yah man, not the people that believe in Yah. There were some people here along with Adam and Eve. Where you think Cain's wife came from? You had to know the story. The stories in Kabbalah teaching. Maybe one day we'll go through that, Brother Drew. But if anybody has any questions, Brother Drew, I open the line up to anybody that has some questions, and hope that through traveling with me of learning working knowledge, if you want to go on and get deeper to it, if you can get all of this information at online and all of that by studying Judaism, study the language. The language is at the 119 Psalms in the Bible. You see a language. Study that language. It's easy now. You can get it off the internet. It's very easy to study so you would know for yourself, because remember that the Father judges individuals. He judges an individual's mind. We are not taught what the Father. He only interested in the mind. He's not interested in your shell. He's interested in your mind. So when you, the ruach, the breath, be taken away from your shell on earth, well, then how your mind is, that is how he receives you. If nobody knows what your mind is, nobody but him. But we know that the mind comes and it goes. So if you keep your mind, you return your mind. Because the mind is a school of thoughts that's held through memory. That's what a mind is. If you got
anybody have any questions for Brother DeWater, just press 1 on
you. If you're listening on the phone, all you have to do is press 1 and we'll answer your question. I've been accused by some people in my class that I don't open the line up for questions.
All right. So, anybody have any questions, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll get you ready and with us. All right. So far, I'll let you know where we have one, Brother DeWater. We got plenty of issues.
Let's go into.
Okay. We have a caller coming in, Brother DeWater. Just a second.
Okay.
All right. Caller coming out at 757 area code 372. You all?
Peace.
Hey, peace.
I want to know the difference between a Hebrew and a Jew. I know there's a difference.
Oh, no. What's the difference between? Hebrew is the language that the people spoke. Come from the word Ibram, which was a tribe. A Jew, he can't call himself a Jew because there's no J's in the language. So we have to ask him what he called himself. In his language, he would be called a Yehuda. Y-A-H-A-D-A. The language that you call Hebrewism is the language of Yah. The 10th sign and symbol is Yah. It's the only language known to, it's the oldest language known to mankind. If you go and look at any capital in any state, including Washington, D.C., you'll see this language above that. If you go visit any shrine hall or Masonic lodge in Fair Park here in Dallas, they have the Masons at 720 Harwood Street put the language out in Fair Park where one of our grandchildren, because they speak the language, was on a field trip, recognized, asked the question to us, why was our language out there in the Fair Park? This is the oldest language known to mankind. If you go into the 119 Psalms of the Bible, you will see 22 Psalms there. They call the Alephates. This is Yiddish. You'll see Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, He, Wazai, Kreit, Tet, Yad, Kof, Lama, Mem, Sun, Sin, Aleph, Pei, Kalet, Su, Reishin, Pa. If you take the vowels out of that language, what the Mesmerites use, I just remember me telling you about the conservative Jews and the Mesmerite Jews, the one in the 6th century. I gave you their history. Where they put the vowels in the language, you take the vowels out of the language, out of that language, and then you have Abba-ga-da-ha-wa-za-ka-ta-ma-la. Yeah, you have the ancient language. In your Bible, you'll see the ancient language spoken one time in the Bible. You'll see Abba, A-B-B-A. Abba means father in that language. It's the first and the second vowel in that language, word in that language is Abba. It means father when you put both of them together, recited together. And when you say Abba and Yah, which is the tenth sign and symbol, then you're saying Father Yah. Remember when Jesus called him Abba? And if you go into the 168 and 4 in the Bible, you'll see that they got it, the God of heaven, exhort him and call him by his name, Yah. You have another passage in there. If you, my people call on me by my name, his name ain't El Shaddai, his name ain't Jesus, his name ain't Carlene or Barlene or stuff. And if somebody call you, you ain't going to answer. He want you to call him by his name. When Jesus told you how to pray in Matthew's, the 6th chapter of Matthew, he said, pray our Father. He didn't say pray our Jesus. And every Sunday morning at church, the devil got you saying, we praying in the name of Jesus. And don't say you don't do it because I go to church every Sunday. And I'm listening to you, what you're doing. And the people that at the church I go to, I be telling them this over and over and over. You praying, and you are not praying the way Jesus gave you the recipe to pray. He said, Psalm 6 chapter of Matthew tell you don't be like the hypocrites, praying long prayers all out in the synagogue and prayer circles and stuff. He said he was a heathen and a hypocrite. What part of that, Christians, that you don't understand, can't you read? It's time out for you calling yourself ignorant and doing this thing not the way that his recipe is written. Big Mama, I never forget Big Mama, Drew. I came home and I said, Big Mama, will you cook me a cake? And she said, oh, yeah, you tired of Miss Pillsbury, Mr. Pillsbury, and Miss Betty Cup, and you won't want a Big Mama's cake. Now, Big Mama's cake, both of my grandmother's cakes, Drew, was a five-layer cake. When they cooked the cake, they cooked a cake. Five-layer and icing in between it. And my favorite was coconut, and you had all that icing in between it, and then they would make a sample cake for me on the side. That's what they make this old big, fat, greedy boy used to come. But Big Mama said something very interesting that should be on everybody's Bible. Big Mama said on them Betty Crocker's cake, she said it had good advice on the back of it. It said, for the best results, follow the direction.
this should be, Big Mama say, on everybody's Bible. For the best results, follow the directions that's given to you in this book. You understand what Albertine was talking about? She was saying, for the best results, follow these directions. That's where I'm going on into for the best results of how to raise a child. The book tells you how to raise a child and told you if you didn't raise the child this way, what the child would be doing. So my question to you when we go through this lesson, I want to ask you how your child treats you. The book told you something that you weren't doing. Because, see, the first thing that Jesus learned as a child was called the Shema. And we're going to go into that phrase of teaching. You got somebody on the line or come?
No, let me make sure. But Jelani, did you get your question answered? Or did you have another question?
No, it was answered.
All right. All right. So, all right, Brother Jelani,
would somebody be telling you Hebrew is this and that? That's the language. That's not the people. That's the language. We do the study on it. Okay, what you got, Drew?
Nobody else. Anybody else want to get in with Brother DeWada? Just press 1 on your phone and we'll get you in. So far, we're waiting, Brother DeWada.
Okay, well, while we're waiting, we're going to go into the books that Jesus taught out of Yeshua. We're going to go into the book of wisdom and knowledge. If you study theology, everybody agree that book of Proverbs is wisdom and knowledge. So when I was studying the book of Proverbs, if you know how to read it and put it together, you can make it talk to you because it's wrote in codes. Once you understand the codes, this is a higher form of exoteric knowledge. How did y'all say raise your child for the best results? We have to follow back the direction. And because y'all had made an everlasting covenant, which means an agreement with you, and that if you broke these laws, that on the 12th generation, you would be wise and wicked, Brother Drew. And that's strange. If you divide take 32 years and divide it by 457 years, you find we're around about the 18th generation right now. So our children is wise and wicked as we speak, because the book told us that if people live under grace from these laws, this would happen on the 18th generation. So we are in this 18th generation. And the last nation of people that spoke about it is in Torah, Tanakh, Quran, and the Bible, all three of these books. So let's see what the books say that you as a Christian, you believe in. We're going to go into the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 30, verse 11 through 14. We're going to make it talk to us, you know. We're going to let this thing talk to us. Where it says, of a wicked nation, generation of children, they will rebel against the mothers and the fathers, because the mothers and the fathers had not heard the children. That's what it says. They would rebel because the mothers and the fathers had disobeyed the laws. Proverbs 4 and 1 and 2 says, hear ye children the instructions of a father, not a god, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my laws. You are taught upon the Pauline Christian of Angelic Gospel Christian teaching of the teaching of Jesus Christ. You are taught by your white daddy, Paul, to live under grace from these laws. He said that you didn't have to abide by this law that Jesus died on the cross for you, and that was sufficient, where it clearly tells you in the Bible that no man can die for your sins. That's written in the book of Deuteronomy, that no man can die for another man's sin. Everybody died for their own self sins. Common sense should tell you this. I mean, if you using common sense, just purity through old good common sense, that no man can die for your evil but ways of doing. I mean, common sense should tell the people that. I mean, I don't understand why. He said, I have given you good doctrine, forsake ye not my laws. And then he turned around in Proverbs 7:1-2 and say, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live laws, and you'll be the apple of his eye. That's what this proverb is saying. Well, ain't that what Jesus taught? This is what this man taught. He didn't teach this stuff that the Apostolic Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Tertullian Creed said he taught. Christianity is up under three different doctrines, which you find in Revelation 2, verse 15, that Jesus said he hated these doctrines. Only one time in the Bible did Jesus say he hated something. He said he hated the teaching of these doctrines. This is new Angelic Gospel Christian Church. In a church in the Western Hemisphere come up under those three doctrines. If something is wrong, and you have to go look and see and check these things out. Proverbs 28:9 say, he that turn away his ear from hearing the law, even the prayers, is an abomination, not a sin, but an abomination. And Christians, go look up that word abomination. It was here before sin got here. Sin is the Iranian god, female god, that Abraham left standing when he cut the god. Sin was the god that the people was worshiping in Abraham's time. He left sin up. She's the god that he told Nimrod to go ask the big god. He was there when he cut the 12 gods' heads off. How did that get into the church? How did that get into the church? Because Muhammad, when he came in, they was worshiping sin as Humbal, and he changed it to Allah, which means the God, which he was talking about Yah. So you had to understand that your prayers that you pray in, they are an abomination. Because you say you live under grace from these laws. You say that the old law, it ain't no good. It was did away because a man died for you. Proverbs 22:28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which their fathers have set. Proverbs 28:10 say, the great Yah that formed all things both rewards the fool and the transgressor of the law. Then he let you know how jealous he was by saying in Proverbs 16:4, Yah has made all things for himself, ye, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Proverbs 9:10 say, give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of Yah is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then he turned around in Proverbs 13, say, the fear of Yah is to hate, not to love. He said, hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil ways, and the forward mouth do I hate. He said, hate evil, Christians hate homosexuality, hate transgressing the law, hate robberies and murders, hate, and I say let them all, hate. Man, what part of reading do you not understand? If this is for our wisdom and knowledge, then understand. And then he turn around and tell you at Proverbs 8 verse 17, there is something very little. He say, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early find me. Now, did you understand that? Because the first thing that Jesus learned in that language was called the Shema. The word Shema is the first word in the Shema. It means in this language, hear. You were supposed to learn this before you learned any words in this language. You were supposed to learn the Shema in this language. The Shema in this language is found at the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. When they got translating and putting into versions, they didn't call it the Shema. They called it the Great Commandment. And why I know that the Christian preachers can't read, because what does it say about in the Great Commandment of how you're supposed to teach your children? I mean, if you didn't teach your children this, then what would happen to your children? I don't think that nobody in the Christian church can tell me what the Shema is, what this is that Jesus said five times a day. This was his custom. So you don't have his custom, you go to be Christ-like. He said this five times a day. They was required to say this five times a day for one simple reason, because the elders and the people thought that every 3 hours that they would forget it. What the Shema was, what they were supposed to understand, because the people that lived around them were so corrupted. So they required you, the Muslims is in that way, because they're in the ways of Abraham. Abraham prayed to God five times a day. I don't see any Christians doing that. They don't observe that. They don't wear tzitzit to acknowledge that they do this. The book tells you in the book of Exodus that you're supposed to wear tzitzit. It says that everywhere that I go in your house, I'm supposed to see the Shema. Your baby's supposed to learn the Shema first. It's at the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy in your Bible. Go look and read it and find out. And for the best results, follow the instructions. Brother Nash finally got him to teach that at our church at Mount Tabor. That, you know, and the father, we had teaching on that. You got to teach your child correct, because if you teach your child incorrect from what the books say teach it, then your child will go astray. And how fast that child goes astray is told to you in the Bible. And what you're supposed to do in raising a child, you're supposed to beat him with a rod. All the book of Proverbs, sit down, take your 2 hours a day and read the book of Proverbs and get yourself some wisdom and get yourself some knowledge. Proverbs 8 says, he's possessing me in the beginning in his ways before his works of old, meaning that it wasn't nothing new under the sun. New Testament. The word testament means witness, come from the word testify. The book, the original book, is wrote up under seven everlasting covenants, meaning that the Father had agreement with mankind when they came down here. And he's got an agreement with you, and you go into the ninth chapter of Genesis, you come out of that seed. You're not out of the first seed of Adam and Eve and the seed, the pre-Adamites. You're not from that seed. They were destroyed. You're from the Noah's seed. So you would have to understand what's going on right now in today's society. You know, the first name before the baby could speak any words. Jesus, the first word that came out of his mouth was called a Shema. The Shema means to hear. And the way that you hear, you have to listen. And that's something Big Mama said that I failed to understand. But I learned to listen. You learn to you learn something. You had to understand that, brother Drew. But
right,
it is
right.
Essential that you know you have to know what this teaching is. Proverbs 3, verse 31 says, "Give it not your oppressor to none of his ways," meaning that the people that we are in their ways, we thank them for teaching us certain things, but we are not supposed to have their names, because the only way we get to become F-R-E-E men with political imperialism, the F-R-E-E-M-A-N. You have to get rid of this name, just like Elijah Muhammad had told us a long time ago. You have to get rid of this name to change your name, to change your mind. And you know we was taught that in the nation, Brother Drew, and a lot of black organizations teach that. Organizations like the Black Panthers and different organizations, Hebrew Israelites, the Black Muslims, Pakistan, Malachi Yalk. They taught that you can't keep this name. You can't keep this name. You can't, when you keep this name, you're keeping some energy on you of who you ain't. And the only way you can become a nation of people, you had to come out of her. I mean, the Bible, you do what the Bible said. The Bible said, come out of her, my people. That means you got to come out of it. You got to come out of the white daddy's ways. And that's point blank. And if we stay in there with their ways, y'all say he's coming in that black cloud. Because let me get a good, so we get a good understanding about y'all, those groups, is that you know for a fact, and that I know for a fact, that y'all comes in a black cloud.
Right.
And I'm going to explain to you how Yah is explained in the Torah and also in the Bible. They say that the people in that day and time who believed in Yah was called the storm god. The people that believed in God called him the storm god. And that the people that worship Yah always would come to them in a black cloud. And you read about the black cloud in the book of Exodus and the story of Moses, and you read about the black clouds and all of that. Now, Yah comes in a black cloud. And in a black cloud, you will find rain, which will produce blood. You will find snow, which will produce freezing, minus degree freezing, brother. You will find sleet, who will cause severe cold weather. You will find hail that will create a massive amount of damage and death. You will find lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes, typhoons, tsunamis, cyclones, all of this equal to death and destruction. And when he really gets pissed off at mankind, he'll create an earthquake that will open up the earth and swallow your property and your black ass, and nobody will see you, your evil butt, again, because he'll swallow you up in the earthquake and close it up. Do you understand who Yah is? If you don't, he will kill you. He wasn't a god of being ignorant about as a god of love. That's why they got the Canaanites created other gods, because Yah was such a
vicious God, a jealous God. They say, why would you want to serve a jealous God? A man wanted everything for himself, for obedience. This is what Yah was, in that if you don't understand this, this is the way it was, because you're living in Yah's. Earth belongs to Yah. People came down here and inhabited our earth, came out of the Shemaim, to tell you that at the sixth chapter of Genesis. The story is there. You just got to know how to read the story. You can think the Zionist Jews, you call them Jews, I call them Yehudas, for leaving the message for us. But they said they promised y'all that they would, and they did. That's why I'm thanking them, because I wouldn't know what I know now if I hadn't done an extensive study with them through Hinduism. I don't care what religion that you can name, I can recite that religion, starting with Hinduism, Judaism, Zoroastrianism, and right on down the rows. We can go in order if I need to have to recite the history of them. I will give you the book. I have no problem with doing that with anybody, Brother Jew, on whatever you say you believe in. You have history. You have, when your language first comes in, it takes hermetic geometrical instruments to make your language. Your language becomes signs, symbols, and numbers. And that's what we know. I mean, that's what we know when we study Yahwehism, you know, and that it was our study. You have to realize that what you are is mind, you know, and nobody teaches the mind. And like Big Mama used to tell me, you got the first half of mind to get a mind. And mind's a terrible thing to waste, you say, but you first had to have one to get one. So I totally agree with her. I totally agree with her in 2013. You know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But you have to understand, and it's so hard to get the people to understand about this mind, because they're so wrapped up in the Holy Ghost and spirit and soul. A mind is a school of thoughts, and that's all it is. And then you have to, we had a show on how the mind was developed. And if you can understand that, and you can get yourself into that mindset, then you understand who you are. You're the greatest person that ever walked the face of the earth. If you had the mind to be this, and you once had that mind, but through religion and through I'm a elephant and I'm a jackass, you can't go further with that when you off into those. You just can't. You can't move up the ladder when you're a Democrat or Republican. That's what you want to be, a Republican. Your sign is the elephant. The elephant brain ain't no bigger than a pea. Why would you want to be a Democrat and the jackass is the most stupidest animal known to mankind? Look in the dictionary. Can you understand that, Brother Drew?
Yeah, I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, why would a person call it themselves that, you know? So that's what I hope that you travel with me a little bit tonight through esoteric knowledge. And I'm going to try to get Cole to come on and teach how we used to get in touch with Yah through divining, which is a very interesting subject, with the Ehod, Urim, and Thurim. And we should get Co get on. He'll be here on the 17th, I think, a teaching at Pan African, the rest of that, on that Urim Theorem and Urim of how the divine, how we got in contact with the Father. Our ancestors got in contact with the Father who's teaching that knowledge. But I hope that everybody's learned something and been enlightened tonight, Brother Jew, and I guess I'll see you next week.
Okay. All right, Brother DeWar, we appreciate you giving us these instructions, and we learn to teach them to ourselves. All right, well, we'll say peace to everybody.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for coming out. We'll be back on next week, 8 p.m. Central. All right, peace.